For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
So, as we've spoken about on the show, I have been a single gal for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
A couple of years. Probably a few more than a couple.
But like, it doesn't matter. Like, you, yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. You're beautiful. No, you're lovely on the inside, too. I'm overcompensating. I know, I heard it.
Relax. But yeah, I've been like single for a few years. And as I said, it doesn't, like, that's not an issue at all. No. This is how I've been living my life.
Yeah.
Hustling, getting radio jobs, traveling around the country.
Yes.
But before I was single, I was with someone for a really long time.
Was like 11 years.
11 yeah. years. And we were together from when I was about 19 through to being 30 years old.
Yeah.
So a really long time. And throughout my 20s, we actually ended up getting engaged.
Yeah.
By the Eiffel Tower, ooh la la.
Very romantic.
Romance city. Well, yeah, it wasn't really that romantic.
But, no, like the bones of the idea are romantic.
Yeah, like we went to an Irish pub after and, you know, so real romance.
But that's Davo to me. Like I hear that and I go, oh, that is romantic for you. Yeah. Good on you.
But look, yeah, obviously things didn't work out and we had a hideous breakup a few years ago. And look, it has taken a long time of like, really healing and working through that. And that's a big part of the reason why I've been single for a long time was really working through that situation and really working on myself. And I have been really working on myself a lot over the last few years.
100%.
And I'm in a position now where I feel really like comfortable in my skin and I feel really content with my life. And I genuinely feel like I have moved past that relationship.
Yeah. And I can imagine there are times and would have been times where you're just like, that'll never come. Like, I'm just going to feel like this forever, hey?
Definitely. I mean, those early days, I think for the first couple of years, it was really, really hard to move on from that situation and the big hurt that ending was.
Yeah.
But for a long time, I've really kept this engagement ring by my side, right? So obviously, I know in situations like the man would take the ring or whatever, but in our situation, he left me with the ring and that has been in my possession ever since.
Yep.
And I have been really struggling with that for a few years to think of what do I want to do with this ring? Do I keep it? Because it's got these nice memories attached to it and all this stuff. And that was genuinely part of potentially holding on to that relationship, not in hope or nothing like that. God.
Yeah.
But, you know, just holding on to the nice part of that relationship.
That's the thing. Just because it ended badly doesn't mean there weren't nice things that happened over those 11 years. Like, I'm sure there were, like, some really beautiful and special moments. But, yeah, when it ends badly, sometimes it can kind of leave a stain on the entire relationship.
Yeah, and I think I really tried to not think about it in that way. And I tried to always remember the good times as well as obviously knowing what happened throughout the end. But, Tim, I've gotten to a point in my life now where I just feel so ready to shed that skin off and move on with my life.
Yeah.
And my mum just came here from Adelaide last week and I asked her, which you gave me a nudge for this, you said you should do this and I said, all right. And she's bought the engagement ring to Geelong and I now have it back in my possession.
Incredible.
And I want to get rid of it. I want to sell it.
Oh, right.
I want to sell it and I want to use the money to do something really fun later on this year.
Do it fun for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, like turn it into a really cool thing. Now, was it weird when she gave it to you?
Yeah, I hadn't seen it in years. Like I hadn't really looked at it in probably 4 years or something like that. So she gave me the ring and I'm really excited to get rid of that. And like I said, get that money.
Can I see the ring? Is that all right?
Ta-ding.
No. Sorry.
Okay. Put it away.
Yeah.
I wasn't proposing on it.
All right. My wife would just be, I think she'd have a few questions. But what do you, like when you need to sell a ring, an engagement ring like that, what do you do?
I don't know. So that's why I'm here.
Okay.
Right. I mean, there must be a jeweler out there or someone that knows something about this sort of gear. If you you don't have to come on air, just like literally to help me out because you know what? I've got this platform, so I'm using it.
And I guess if someone's listening, they might. This might be really, really helpful for them because they might be in a similar situation. Like, I want to get rid of this because my brain goes like, do you have to melt it down? Do they save the diamonds or whatever it is and they melt down if it's gold or if it's silver or if it's rose gold? What, I don't know. What do they do?
I don't know. But I want to find somewhere to get it valuated and get this out of my life and do something incredible with that cash. Have a lot of Davo fun.
Tim and Davo.
former Carlton player.
Current supporter for a team that's going to lose on Friday night.
Ed Curnow. Yep, that's the grunting one. That's Ed. Ed, we appreciate you coming by here. That was some excellent research done by you. And I love the scorecard, and I hope we see that make a comeback to the Tim and Davo show.
Thanks, Tim.
You
appreciate
could have a future in this radio, you know.
this yabbing on
too
thing.
Too far.
Now, Ed, on Friday night, the Pies and the Dogs, the game was on the boot of Tim Membry, who...
Couldn't get it done.
Normally a pressure player, Tim Membry, but it just didn't happen for him, and the Pies ended up losing the game. When I think of pressure players, I like to think of it like operating in a kitchen of a restaurant, which is a if you've ever seen The Bear, it is a stressful place.
So just to go around the room quickly, pressure players yourself, Tim, do you think you're a pressure player?
I am a pressure player, yes.
Are you a pressure player?
No, probably not.
Well, I'm not. No, I'm definitely not.
All right, well...
Crumble.
It's so sad that I'm the most confident person in the room. That is not a good room.
Tim, you're calm. Yeah, he's got the you got to stay mojo,
calm.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Dave and I are too quick to jump it.
But we wanted to combine. We wanted to combine pressure players and AFL coaches. Ed, this was your idea. So we have it. We have Ed's kitchen right now, and you want to play some roles of some current AFL coaches. Into some roles of pressure players in the kitchen. Are you ready to rip in?
Yeah, ready to go. I mean, Membry's kind of, he kicked it off, didn't he? And then Clarko's gone. So it's a pressure environment. It's kitchen restaurant, all right? So I've gone a bit of both. First role, sous chef. So that's like the assistant, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're the worker. They get it done. They're understated. Gone Chris Fagan. Who gets that one? It's a bit boring.
That's good.
You know, he's just...
He's reliable, though.
Gets the job done.
Can you say what team they're the coach of?
Oh, Brisbane.
Yeah. You remember, some people listen aren't former AFL players like yourself.
So they don't know what team and what state. But anyway, all good. The head chef, I've gone very creative. They're the cook, right? They are moody though, and then can be quite aggressive and entertaining. Yeah, is that fair for a head chef?
Yeah, I think so.
So
we've gone Bevo, Western Bulldogs.
What?
Yeah, I reckon he's got a bit of angry, bit of...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Has moods, bit different, bit creative. Yeah, he's the cook.
Okay, all right. That's moody, fair. And you reckon?
Yeah, he is. He's a snipey little one.
We've all got our moods, and I'm not saying... Yeah, anyway. Sorry, Bevo. Dish pig. So we've gone the dish pig, right? So no one wants this job. You're cleaning up the crap, all right? You got to polish some rubbish. And basically turn a, I don't know, just something really ugly into something beautiful.
Yeah, polishing a turd.
Has to be Josh Fraser.
Oh,
doesn't
thank
it?
God. I thought this was an Essendon job again.
No, because Essendon, the dish pig would have failed.
Right.
He'd come out worse.
So Josh Fraser, now that he's in there, everyone's got high expectations. They're like, you need to make this look good.
Yeah, he's grabbed this whole sink of just crap and made it look unbelievable.
Yeah, that's fair.
So anyway, then we've got the front of house manager. So we're moving out to the restaurant area. They're bubbly. They can talk underwater. They can turn it on, Davo. They got plenty of carry on.
Davo would be, if we had a restaurant,
all
Davo
razzle.
Would be front of house.
All dazzle.
So I reckon this is Sam Mitchell. I reckon he's turning it on. He likes getting in the media. He can talk a lot of shop, but it doesn't always work. And it's a watch for me.
See, I thought Craig McRae for Collingwood would have been in that role.
Yeah, he's close. Okay. He's close.
All right. He just missed out on the job.
Sam wins the PR and gets the front of house manager role. And then the final one. This is one I quite enjoy. I'm not sure it helps, but I'm called it the tidy upper or the bench cleaner. Like you don't actually do anything, but you grab stuff off and you put it in a different location and it looks neater and tidier. You might whack stuff in the sink and you don't actually really do anything. You just walk around and stuff looks a little bit better and you claim it. Is that fair?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you do that at home, Davo?
No.
Clean.
Clean. Cook. That's not me.
Well, I've given it to Chris Scott. I reckon he inherited a team that was flying. He hasn't done anything. He doesn't have to do anything.
This 15 years ago.
He goes on long holidays every summer. Comes back from Milan. Everything's done.
Ed Curnow, do we want to talk about holidays? And who's going on holidays?
It's Chris Scott. He's a tidy upper. It's a compliment. Doesn't do anything, but the stuff happens.
Okay. Well, what a kitchen that would be. And we know that Ed is an expert because he owns... From what we understand, 14 restaurants across Geelong Surf Coast.
I heard it was 16.
Oh, that's nice. On any of that. Okay, well, Ed, that is. I think that restaurant would be incredibly successful. I think it'll be a Michelin star restaurant.
I reckon it could be a reality TV show at the very least.
Absolutely.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
We are still joined in the studio by former Carlton player,
current cheeky monkey,
Ed Curno. Ed, appreciate you sticking around on a Wednesday. You are our footy expert. You're also a good guy, and we just like hanging out with you and having a bit of a chat.
Thanks, Tim. Davo, Cheeky Monkey's a great cafe in Richmond.
Oh, there so you go. Awesome cafe.
Well, as someone who owns a cafe, that's crazy.
A cafe 70 kilometres away.
You can go there when you do K-Rock at the MCG this week and watch the Catters get done.
No.
We should say Ed and his family run the Fives in Belbray. And if you're ever in town, swing by. It's beautiful. It's incredible. And we absolutely love the Fives, don't we, Ed?
We charge appropriately on Sundays, Davo.
Yes, of course. A fantastic
not
life.
According to her mum. That's okay.
We settled that. She liked the egg sandwich, though.
Oh, she had a great time. And the Fives is a great spot. But look, we're not talking about the Fives right now. There's enough free plugs for you, Ed. But look, we want to talk about, we did this yesterday on air, and we thought we'd bring you in on this, Ed. And it's chatting about the song Lady Marmalade.
Let's have a listen. I could see him with his feather boa dancing around his room in 2003 to this, Davo.
Big fan of Moulin Rouge, Ed, or?
I'm trying to work out the words. Like,
what's in French, though?
Yeah.
Extra hard
for you. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it does. It does in French, so.
What's your French like, Davo?
It's not too good.
Would have been a great.
Pardon moi.
Civil play.
Yeah. You?
Shut up.
Right. So, look, the reason we're talking about this song.
Merci beaucoup.
The reason.
Mercy
Ratatouille. Mercy, I don't know.
I love Mercy Buku. She's a great girl.
Okay.
Come on, Davo.
The reason why we're talking about this song yesterday is because it does feature four incredible superstars: Maya, Pink, Little Kim, and Christina.
All right, here's a bit of Maya.
All fluent.
Bit of
French.
Pink. Lil Kim. And Christina. Yeah. So she's the powerhouse in there.
Now, look, I have this theory that if you did a dance to this growing up as a millennial, we all did.
Yep.
If you were one of these characters, it said a lot about who you are.
Can you go through it again? Because it's kind of like star signs, but when it comes to kind of energies of people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Maya was the first one. She's pretty sassy, effortlessly cool. She's the perfect appetizer, and I called her the pretty sidekick.
Mm, how would you define sassy?
Oh, you're a pretty good definition, yeah. Sassy. You know?
Every Wednesday between 4 and 4.30. Then you've got Pink, and I called her the scrappy rat queen. And look, she's rough around the edges, willing to get her hands dirty. She'll 100% bully you for a laugh, but she's a bit of fun.
Rides dirt bikes. I think that's a good one to chuck in there as well.
Yep, Little Kim, the baddie boss. She's not mucking around. She knows exactly who she is, confident, leading the pack in a way, and she's got no interest in entertaining your BS.
Yeah, we love that.
Mm-hmm. And then Christina, she's the main character, obviously main character energy, leader of the pack. She's expressive, full of energy, brings a vibe as soon as she enters the room.
100%.
So we sort of went through yesterday and we spoke about who we are in those situations. And we thought we'd bring you into this, Ed, to really work out who's playing who when we do our Lady Marmalade dance at the end of the footy season.
Because it's going to be like the players review on the footy show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, when you sign the contract, Ed, there is a dance number that we will be doing at GMHBA Stadium.
Got some really nice fishnets for you.
10,000 fans. So we just thought we'd just get this out of the way for you. Now, we both agreed that Davo was Pink.
Scrappy little rat queen.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Dirt
yep.
bikes. I believe I am...
Skivvies? Does Pink wear skivvies?
Yeah, she wears skivvies.
Loves ham sandwiches.
I reckon I'm Lil' Kim. I'm Lil' Kim. You know, I know what I want and I get what I want. And,
wow.
And I'm in charge. I'm large. And and I got sass at the ass. So I'd
agree with both of them. That's good.
Now,
bit of gangster about you as well, Tim.
No one has ever said that.
Not
about
one
me.
Person.
I look like I listen to Mumford & Sons, so let's take that right out of there, okay?
I reckon there's a hidden gangster in there, Davo, don't you think?
Oh, there's definitely some body rolling he does around the place. An R&B queen is what I would call him.
Jeez, you shorties are so kind to me.
So you've left me with two options.
Well, no, you could be any of them. You don't have to divide yourself into Maya or Christina, but when I went through them, and I know you weren't listening,
I think Christina's...
That's a great point.
I'd love to know who you think you would be in Lady Marmalade.
Wow, in this French Moulin Rouge song, I'm going to have a crack at Christina.
You reckon you're the main show?
I do think he might be.
Don't say it like that, Tim.
I think he's got a bit of pink energy.
But Davo's pink.
Yeah, well, I guess if it's taken, then he's more and Mia, Christina than Maya.
Maya. What does she do again? She just has that little feeble pretty little sidekick at the start. Yeah.
No, I think I would say you are Christina Aguilera energy for sure. Okay. You have presence when you enter a room, leader of the pack.
Okay, well, so right. what does it mean? That's enough.
Sorry. You can take it as complimentary as you like.
I just feel like I'm picking between North Melbourne and Essendon here, so I don't really have a choice. So I've just gone with the worst of the
Get
two.
Get your and head gone out with... of the game so for 1 second.
I think, of course, so we've got, so if Davo's pink, I'm Little Kim, Ed, you're Christina, then obviously your baby brother, common medalist, Charlie Kerno, he can be Maya.
I think that's perfect.
I cannot
wait. I'd probably flip that around, actually, now that you put it that way. I'll be Maya, he can be Christina.
Well, I cannot wait for our performance at GMHBA Stadium. Those fishnets will be coming very soon in the mail to your butler.
Are we wearing them on radio?
No. This will be a filmed event.
Yeah, like the footy show.
Like the footy show. So don't
Back
you worry.
In the day.
Before the Sam Newman stuff.
Before they got sacked.
Yep. Ed Kerno, former Carlton player, current Frady Cat of the Geelong Football Club. Thank you very much for swinging on
Go
by.
Blues.
We will see you next Wednesday.
Meow.
That's Davo.
It's Tim and Davo.
I've struggled with something for a long time, and I just feel like there's a gap in the market for us to come up with now. This is a brainstorm session, mm-hmm. okay? You know when people sneeze?
Yep.
You say something.
Bless you.
Yeah, you say bless you. You say Gesundheit. Maybe that's a fun one to say. You haven't heard
I've
that?
Never heard that one before.
It's a German one.
Yep.
Because I saw it on Rugrats
Oh,
as
nice.
Well. Because it's Gesundheit, bless you, or like God bless you, whatever it may be. I felt there's been something lacking that has the same energy as a sneeze, that you don't get people like saying something to you after the fact.
I swear, if you're talking about farts right now, I'll be that upset with you.
Because that's people shouldn't be just farting like, oh, how you going, Karen? You know?
Yeah, and that's something you should take on within yourself, Tim.
I've had a couple of accidentals, yes.
Accidentals
and
a stretch.
A few purposeful. So I believe...
You dirty dog.
No, it's not about farts. Trust me. I feel like we need a bless you for coughs.
Okay.
Because people are coughing more than they're sneezing.
Yeah.
And I want it to be the same energy as a bless you. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like I've looked into the idiom of bless you, which is like where it's come from. And it's come from religion, and it's like the devil's coming and bless you, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. But it's like that's what people say. Even if you're not religious, people will say bless you,
of course.
Right? But for coughing, which I feel like can hurt people more, like if you're coughing, that's hurting your throat, it's hurting your lungs. People just kind of look at you and they go, oh. But even after COVID now, that you cough and people give you dagger eyes and you're the villain in the area.
Yeah, oh, definitely. You got to be so careful with your coughs these days. You feel like you're a criminal if you're outside coughing.
Like if I had a coughing fit, what do you think would be an appropriate thing to say to the – and it's like it's a nice thing to say to somebody. It's not just like a – Righto.
Or you're under arrest, which is what it's felt like over the last 6 years, do you know?
Yeah, because I've been writing some down today.
Okay.
And like feel better doesn't have the same energy as bless you. Like
feel better.
Yeah.
No, it feels like you're telling him off.
Yeah. I really like breathe easy.
Breathe easy. So
breathe easy.
It's not as catchy, is it?
Yep.
You need two syllables, I think.
Oh.
Maybe? Okay.
Breathe easy.
Breathe easy. Three syllables.
Easy. You say it real fast. Embarrassed that I've got the syllables wrong. I've lost focus.
What else? What else do you reckon? Any more? Is that you too? You've done big research.
Like, because again, I don't want it to be in the same vein as bless you, but like... Like lighten lungs.
Lighten lungs is fun.
You and I like to say lighten love to each other when we're saying goodbye. It's like, well, lighten love to you, like lighten lungs, mm-hmm. you know, like you know, and I know I've sprung this on you. And that's my sincerest apologies.
I mean, this isn't two syllables, but oh, you bastard. You know, remember like that could be a bit of fun.
It doesn't make me feel
no,
better.
No, okay. Ooh.
I really like Breathe Easy, that famous two-syllable saying.
Breathe good.
Breathe good.
On ya.
Yeah.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
You know, obviously Gen Z, millennials, Gen X, it always goes through this same process that the younger generation is always calling the older one old.
Yes, and especially it's like you really care about this mostly when you are in your 20s, because it's like every other generation is out to get you. The generation below you is still too young to really make a stance, because they're like, I'm just learning how to, like what Mongolia is as a country. Like, this is too much for me. But yeah, when you're a late teenager in your 20s, even to your early 30s, it's like your generation is part of your identity.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Gen Z, they're chirping. They're chirping up and they're calling us old for many different things.
How do you take that?
Oh, I don't love it, because obviously I feel young at heart.
We're millennials. We should just say that quickly. And I don't think we reek of it. Like, we're not like, oh my God, Friends reruns is so good.
I love Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter.
Well, I do, but...
And doggos. What's the other one? Doggos. And I'm a dog mom, that sort of vibe. Yeah, look, we're not fully leaning into millennial core, but we're certainly in there, man. Like, I'm 35, you're 33.
Yeah.
And you're a dad now, so that obviously gives you older energy regardless.
Thank you.
But Gen Z, they're calling us old again, and it's all to do with emojis. And I feel like this is the sort of thing that when mum gets a hold of an emoji and then that she starts using it, oh, well, it's no cool and we've all got to pivot.
Yes.
So when you, like, say you find something really funny in a message or whatever, what emoji are you using?
It's the laughing face with, like the ha-ha, but there's, like, it's tears? Laughing tears coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, they're bastards about this, no offense.
Yeah. Well, look, apparently this is the granddaddy of cringe now, baby. This is not okay. No. Gen Z say that is not the right one to use. It's giving middle-aged Facebook comment. Also, the other one that they say for laughing is no good, the rolling on the floor laughing one. You know, the one where it's kind of like they're crying and laughing, but it's to the side?
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I don't use that one. But yeah, my mum does.
Yes. 100%. See, that's giving, this is hilarious. Yeah. Auntie energy is what they're saying. So apparently we're not cool anymore by using that laughing emoji.
See, I've heard that the younger generation will use things like the skull emoji and like a coffin, because it's like I'm dead.
Yeah.
It's like, that's so funny. I'm dead. RIP me. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. And like, I just feel like there's too much to figure out. And I understand it's like they understand it. Mm. But like, I think the laughing face transcends generations. Everybody understands what that means.
Because you're having fun. You're laughing. You're laughing so much you're crying.
Yeah.
The one that they are using instead of that, yes, the skull face is one of them, but the other one that they're using for all of it is the crying one, the one where the tears are streaming down your face, like crying, hysterically crying. And apparently this is so funny. I cannot cope. I'm overwhelmed. This is amazing.
See, this is the thing. I can't remember. It was last week. Now, I don't want to specifically talk about it, but there's been some tragedies going on around Australia and the world. Mm-hmm. And there was a post that someone put up, like a page. And it was like, devastating thing happens in this country. And they wanted to use the sad emoji crying, like, this is sad. And we're sad about it. But they used the laughing tears streaming down the face. And it was like, you know, X amount of people dead laughing emoji. And I'm like, who's done that? A young person or an old person? Who's on that? And this is the thing, the emojis are scary. Just, you don't use them.
But I do feel like Gen Z are coming at us like how you used to be scared of a group of teenagers, because I was putting a story up the other day and you bloody betcha I avoided using that laughing crying emoji. It's out. I'm no longer touching it.
So it's war.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.